is Jay Harris. Jay, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Let's talk Vue engines.
What about Vue engines?
You're a big ASP.NET MVC guy, right?
I suppose so, yeah.
Who knows more about MVC than you?
Oh, lots of people, and most of them all work in Redmond. No, there's lots of people all around that know more than MVC.
Let me put it this way. You do a lot of work with ASP.NET in general and MVC in particular. Is that correct?
Yes. All of my stuff that I do, pretty much, is in the .NET stack, in the MVC stack. Even all of the clients that I work with, the ones that haven't already converted over to MVC, I'm pushing them towards that ledge.
So. Interesting. You actually want to convert existing applications to MVC, even though they're already working as web forms?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're all the same thing. Under the covers, that MVC application is also a web forms application. So drop in a few more assemblies, add a little bit of configuration into the web config, and you can start adding MVC views, controllers, all of the MVC stuff into your existing web forms app.
All right, well, I'm a big MVC fan myself, and there's a lot to cover in MVC, but let's stay focused here. Let's talk about Vue engines. Even that, a simple thing like how we're going to render views, we've got decisions to make because there's multiple Vue engines available to us.
Right, and that's part of the power of MVC is there is this configuration. We can change out which Vue engines we want. We can use what we're most comfortable with without impacting the stuff under the covers, the formerly known as code behind, the controller logic and the model logic.
Let's go through them here. What are the most popular Vue engines and some of the advantages of them?
Well, of course, when ASP.NET MVC first shipped, it shipped with the poorly named Web Forms Vue engine.
Very poorly named.
Yes, because of course, since it's Web Forms, people think it's Web Forms and get all of the fun Web Forms stuff, the session stuff, and the Vue State stuff, and the event model stuff, and all of the things that we hated about Web Forms. All the joys seem to be confused when you bring those names across.
It's only that called that because it ended in .aspx. That's the reason why it's called Web Forms.
Yes. All those views ended with .aspx. That was the first two versions. The first MVC 1 and MVC 2 were pretty much exclusively, at least for the stuff that came out of the box, exclusively the Web Forms Vue engine. Of course, MVC 3 brought the Razor Vue engine, which now ships out of the box. And you still have both Vue engines, and they're both completely available. You can use them side by side. You can have some stuff that's .cshtml or VBHTML for the VB developers.
That's the Razor stuff.
For the Razor extensions, the Razor views, and at the same time in the same project, having your ASPX and ASCX stuff for the web forms Vue engine.
There's other ones that third parties have created all along the way.
Oh yes, there's third party versions of just about any Vue engine from any other platform out there, and a few different ones. There's Vue engines for nVelocity, which of course is the port of the Velocity engine, and all the way down to if you really hate yourself, making Vue engines using just XSLT. Writing your HTML out of X. I don't know why you'd want to, but you could. There's Vue engines for it. Probably one of the more popular Vue engines for third parties is Spark Vue engine.
Okay. That's been around a while, actually, like version 1 or 2 of MVC. Louis Dejardin, I'm not sure I'm probably saying his name wrong, but he invented this thing early on in the MVC.
I'm sure he's used to people butchering his name. I don't know how to properly pronounce it either. The Spark Vue engine has been around as long as there has been an ASP.NET MVC. Even when it was still in beta, Spark was coming out in beta. And when version 1 dropped, when version 1 of the actual MVC framework went to RTM, that same day we recompiled the Spark Vue engine beta. Because we were ready to go. We were just waiting for Redmond to RTM MVC.
I was on that project. I remember you guys were using the Sparky engine. That was gutsy.
Yes, yes. And the day that the actual live bits came out of Redmond, we recompiled Spark Vue engine and pushed version 1.0 of Spark up onto to CodePlex.
And I heard you talk about another one that I had never heard of before. It was the help me out. What was the
Jade.
Jade, okay, and that's a port of something from Node, right?
Yes, Jade is coming out of the Node world, and it's which itself is kind of almost a port of Haml from Ruby land. The syntax is very similar, and very recently, just in the past couple of months, Jade syntax in the views has been a part of the Spark view engine. So just like when you get the Redmond bits, if you will, of the ASP.NET MVC stuff, where you get both the WebForms view engine and Razor, when you get Spark, you get both the Spark syntax and the Jade syntax.
Okay, well, let's stick with those four then. Jade, Spark, WebForms, and Razor. What are some of the strengths of each of them? And where are some areas, some factors that would choose me, lead me to choose one over the other?
Okay. Well, the WebForms view engine and the Razor view engine, of course, they're coming out of Redmond. So you get all of the Microsoft support behind them, and they're very ubiquitous. Since anybody that can go to file new MVC3 project, they instantly have both of those view engines available to them. And Visual Studio even ask you, hey, which one do you want? Do you want to use the WebForms view engine? Do you want to use the Razor view engine? And people are used to those. People are very used to the WebForms view engine. It's that same familiar syntax that we have out of WebForms itself, though personally I think the WebForms view engine feels a little bit more classic ASP than just regular WebForms.
Those little less than percent brackets.
Yes, those alligator brackets, though I don't know why they're called alligator.
I call them bee stings.
That works too. but there's a lot of familiarization to these two view engines. Everybody already knows them. Everybody has them. There's a lot of comfort with them.
That's a big plus, I think. Familiarity, comfort. People don't downgrade that.
Oh yes, and all of the appropriate Visual Studio expectations that come with those. You can use VB or C# with them, and all of the IntelliSense that we're used to and in many cases depend on in Visual Studio. Those are right there available in either WebForms view engine or the Razor view engine.
Okay.
Differences between the two, of course, are primarily syntactical. We have the alligator brackets, the bee stings.
Yep.
For the WebForms view engine, and there's a lot of ceremony because you have the open bracket percent sign or open bracket percent sign equals, depending on what you're trying to do,
right.
And your .NET code, your non-HTML code, and then at the end the parenthesis close bracket to close it all out. The yellow code, as I call it, since Visual Studio highlights that ceremony in yellow. Razor kind of got rid of a lot of that ceremony and converted it all into an at sign. So now when you hit at in Visual Studio, IntelliSense pops up. You know, what do you want to do here? All of the C# stuff, all of the VB stuff.
Okay. So there's always this context switching going back and forth between HTML markup and C# or VB server-side code that's being executed. And with the web forms, you had to explicitly say when that context switching ended.
Right.
Razor just figures it out, and it works 99% of the time. It just, you tell it when to start C# code, and it just figures out what it ends.
Yes. One of the side effects, though, with Razor, because of that, is your HTML has to be very well formatted. So, as I refer to it, we go from client-side code into server-side code, the C# or VB, once we hit that at sign. And sometimes, like with our blocks inside of our curly brackets, you don't have to put another at sign for the closing curly bracket. You can just have a sea of HTML in there. And it just knows that closing curly bracket, wherever it encounters it, it matches up with the opening curly bracket for your if statement, if you will. But you have to have good HTML syntax for that, because there could be additional server-side code inside your HTML. Maybe you have an if block, some sort of if condition, and inside of that is a div tag. And the div tag could have two different things that are themselves on an if and an else block.
Okay.
Which curly brackets line up with which things. If you open up a HTML tag inside of this block, Razor will still think that anything inside of that HTML tag, all of its context, its inner text or inner HTML, is a part of that tag and not lining up with your if tag. So if it encounters a closing curly bracket inside an HTML block, it's not going to pair it up with that if statement's opening curly bracket.
And there is some syntax for explicitly saying this is where this context switching should occur.
Yes. It pretty much it all centers around HTML. It centers around looking for that closing tag. Anything that's open has to be closed, whether that be curly brackets on an if statement or opening and closing HTML tags.
Okay. Spark takes a very different approach. It looks a lot different from either the WebForms view engine or the Razor view engine.
Yes. Spark pretty much takes everything as HTML and appends on to the HTML to add the logic. For example, any HTML tag, whether that's a div tag or a bold tag, anything at all, now has, in addition to its regular attributes like alt tags and titles, we have if attributes or each attributes. If you did if equals some sort of condition, it'll evaluate that, and if that condition evaluates to true, that HTML tag and all of its contents will render. If the if condition is false, that tag won't be rendered at all. Additionally, the each attribute, each equals just like you would on a for each, so it'd be each, you know, var foo in thing. That HTML tag will be repeated for every single item in that collection.
Okay. And then purists would say that's less context switching, at least in your mind as you go through that, than the yellow code that you talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's my argument. We do that a lot with all of our other languages. We try very hard to take all of our JavaScript and extract it out into a .js file. We try very hard to take all of our CSS and extract it out into a .css file. Yet we still intermix our code of our C# or VB with our HTML and have, yeah, that context switch back and forth from these two different languages that are all in line with each other. It's not like we have this huge block like we would a style tag for our inline CSS or our huge block of a script HTML tag where we transition into JavaScript mode. The C# and the HTML are very intermingled. With Spark, we're always in HTML mode. Even those conditions are just attributes on existing HTML tags.
Okay. The times that I've worked with Spark, I missed the IntelliSense. Is there any way around that?
There is a project that's called SparkSense that does give you some IntelliSense through Spark. I've had varying success with it. It's not as much of the focus because the focus really is just on the core engine itself, but it is available. But from everything I've seen so far, it's only on the Spark syntax and not the Jade syntax. Because again, those two view engines come available both out of the Spark view engine project.
Okay, let's talk about Jade. What is that?
Jade, if you've ever seen Haml out of the Ruby land, it's very much like that. So a lot of this is to get rid of the ceremony. The WebForms view engine had a lot of ceremony. You have the open bracket, percent sign, equals, and then some code, and then the closing percent sign and the closing bracket. There's five characters there just to make that context, which is a lot of noise. Razor, we get that into an at sign, but it's still a quest to get rid of all of this ceremony. The argument is that HTML itself has a lot of ceremony to it. We always have to close out every single tag in the same order that it was opened. And of course, we've all forgotten to close an HTML tag on something, forgotten to close a bold tag, and now the entire rest of the page is bold. Or forgot to close a div tag, and now our layout is entirely messed up.
Is it harder than that? I think you pointed out recently that some tags you're allowed to self-close them with a slash greater than, and some tags you're not allowed to do that, and some you're required to do it the other way, where you actually have this slash close tag
right.
name.
Right. For example, the link tags in the head, where we pull in our external style sheets, those must be self-closing. So it's open the bracket and the attribute, and then the slash and the closing bracket. There's no separate slash link closing tag, but the script tags for JavaScript cannot be self-closed. They must have a separate closing tag, even if there's no embedded inner JavaScript, the inline JavaScript. Even if it's just referencing some sort of source for an external JavaScript file, there still must be a separate script tag. If you do self-closing, many browsers will just yak all over the place.
The rules are exactly the opposite on each of those,
right?
Which is the reason why we're missing accidentally missing closing tags. Makes it even harder for us mere mortals.
Exactly. So with Jade, it's all white space sensitive. So at the core is our HTML tag, and it doesn't even have the opening and closing brackets around our HTML tag. It's just the four characters HTML. And then to get into the head and go to the next line, indent it, say, two characters, and just, again, no angle brackets, just the four characters head. And inside of that, indent some more, and you can do your link tags or your script tags, and it's all indentation based. And anything that is indented to the exact same label or level are those are siblings to each other. So your four characters of head and the four characters of body, without those angle brackets, they're just going to both be indented two characters, let's say, two spaces from the margin.
That sounds a lot like Python.
Yes. So with Python, you can have your if tag, that you have the if block, and all of the stuff that's inside of that if block is indented. And when the indentation comes back to the same level as your if keyword, all of that code is assumed to be outside of the if block. There's no closing squiggly bracket. There's no closing end if in VB. And it's the same way with Python back into J. There's no closing body tag. There's no closing HTML or head tag or closing anything. A tag is assumed to be closed when the indentation comes back to the same level as its siblings or beyond, you know, to its parent.
So this is Python is known for being a very terse language, and that this Vue engine creates a very terse markup, right?
Oh, yes. Well, without any closing tags, you've pretty much halved even the number of lines in your code. If presumably you put your closing div tag on a different line than the opening one, it's very terse. Mm-hmm. It's very short and sweet. And similar to the stuff with Spark, it's one language. Sure, it's not HTML. We've abstracted away the HTML into this Jade syntax, but there's no C# either. It's all just one language. So yeah, it's different than either of the two that we had before, say in the Razor View engine. But we don't have that context switch back and forth to different languages.
There's also no allowing for procedures or complex logic inside of your view. Is that just something we shouldn't be doing, or is there a way around that in Jade?
There are ways around it in both Jade and in Spark, macros, as they call them. But I would argue, yeah, that's not something that we should be doing. From my viewpoint, the only thing that belongs in a view is if and for. You know, looping over those collections and the if for, you know, do we want to show the little paperclip icon because this email has an attachment or not. So outside of if and for, I'd say there shouldn't be any logic inside of the view. If it needs to get that complex where you need a macro, you need some sort of function, all of that stuff should belong down into your controller logic, into your model logic. Get it out of the view.
Okay, so when I start missing that functionality, that's the time I should step back and say, wait a minute, why do I need that functionality in my view? Is there a better way to do that?
Right. And of course, Razor, and especially the WebForms view engine, make it very easy to just put gobs and gobs of complex logic right into your view, which is why, to me, it feels like stepping back into classic ASP, where we had everything right down to our connection strings in one big, huge .asp file.
Right. The big question, which one is best? Which one should I use?
Okay. Well, my favorite is Spark. I love Spark. If I could, I prefer Spark. But everybody's going to have something different. It's going to be whatever is the most efficiency and maximizes efficiency for the team on this individual project. If for most people, that's going to be the Razor View engine, and that's going to be fine. But if for some reason you're pulling in Ruby developers, they're going to be more used to that Haml syntax, which is going to be very familiar in Jade, and I'd say use that so that the Ruby guys will understand and they don't have to go and their heads explode from all of the C# inside of your view. Conversely still, if you have a lot of front-end developers and graphics designers that are working with your HTML and they don't know any VB, they don't know any C#, they're just really good at HTML, then Spark is great for that, because even the things like those if conditions and those for loops are just more attributes on the HTML itself. It looks like HTML, it feels like HTML, you read it just like HTML, and their heads won't explode from all of this C# and VB that's mixed inside of the view.
It's all about avoiding the head explosions.
Yes, it's all about avoiding brain matter all over the wall.
Now you're doing a lot of talks. I know that you're DevLink later this month. We're here at that conference. You were at a user group that I saw last week. Are you also blogging still?
I try to. I've kind of gotten out of the blog, but I really need to get back into it. So I'm going to get that revived.
Where should we look for that?
Currently, it's CaptainLoadTest.com. But there is new stuff coming. That's part of the delay in the blogging. There's new stuff coming.
Jay, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. This was recorded at that conference in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. You should have come too, because here you can learn about technology with your friends.